on end time events. Actually, I didn't intend on doing it. I didn't plan on doing it. But circumstances were such that I felt it was necessary. I felt God was leading me here. And so, unfortunately, I started talking about it kind of out of place, out of time. I talked about the coming of the kingdom of God, and then I talked about the rapture. And now that naturally leads into the next highlight of history. So let me first of all introduce you to a man named Robert Ingersoll. The next image, please. Robert Ingersoll, he lived back in the, he got married back during the days of the Civil War in the 1960s. And I think he lived up through, I don't know, somewhere in 1890-something, he passed away of congestive heart failure. But what's important about Robert Ingersoll was that he lived in what they were referring to, oddly enough, as the Age of Enlightenment. Okay? He was enlightened. And they actually said he was an agnostic, but he was a self-proclaimed atheist. What's the difference? An atheist says there is no God. And the scripture agrees with that. The scripture says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. So atheist equals fool equals no God. An agnostic, on the other hand, is somebody who just doesn't know. They're not convinced. So he's claimed to be an agnostic. I'm not sure. But one day, during a speech, and by the way, he gave lots of them, to a huge crowd, and he wanted to convince people there was no God. So how was he going to do that? Well, while he was standing up on stage, he took out his pocket watch, and he said, I've read that the Lord will destroy those who blaspheme him. And he says, I hereby blaspheme God. And he said, I dare him to strike me down in 5 minutes. Wow. A minute goes by. The crowd's starting to get a little restless, you know. They're kind of like, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? 2 minutes go by, and people are starting to chatter. They're not sure. 3 minutes go by, and women in the crowd actually faint. They're scared. They faint. 4 minutes go by, and everybody's chomping at the bit. Their nails, you know, like that. What's going to happen? And finally, he closed his watch at 5 minutes. He said, see, there is no God. Well, somebody actually told this story to a preacher who was from England. Told the story of what Robert Ingersoll did, the challenge he made to God Almighty. The preacher said, and did the American gentleman think that he could exhaust the patience of the Almighty in 5 minutes? God is patient. He's patient with all of us. Folks, he could have struck him dead and probably would have convinced a lot of people that God was real. But you know what? God is loving. Giving that same man, Robert Ingersoll, time to repent. Scripture tells us it's not God's will for any of us to perish, but that all may come to repentance. That's his will. That's what he wants. So he gives us time. But eventually, time runs out. And I talked about that last week, the rapture. What's the rapture? The rapture is where, and I believe in this, by the way, not everyone does, and that's okay. It's not a doctrine of salvation. What is a doctrine, I think, of salvation is, first of all, you got to believe Christ, Jesus was virgin born. I don't believe you can be saved without that, because there's people who do not. Also, you got to believe he resurrected. He resurrected, for real. And you also have to believe he was God in the flesh. If you believe all of that and you put your trust in him, you will be saved. Just commit yourself to him. So a lot of people don't believe that. But the rapture is a point in time to when Christ will come. And a lot of people don't think he's going to come in two phases, but he is going to come and he's going to set his foot on the Mount of Olives. And scripture says it's going to split in two. And when he does, that's when he sets up his kingdom. But there's another phase, and I'll tell you a little more during the sermon as to why I believe that. But there's another phase to where Christ is going to come, and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet, will we hear it? Will we hear it? It'll be come up here, like it said in Revelation. Come up here, he said to John. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we who are alive and remain will be caught up, that word caught up, snatched, grabbed within an instant to meet those in the air. That word caught up is where we get the word rapture. And so they'll be caught up in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. To me, that's going to be one of the most momentous events ever. And all those who have put their heart and trust in Jesus Christ. But there's also another point of time that's going to happen immediately. That is referred to as the tribulation. Okay, we'll talk a little more about that, but this next image I want to show you is why didn't the prophets see all of these timelines? Let's go to the next one. So this little image right here shows from a prophet's point of view, he sees these events that occur. And he sees the birth of Jesus, the death of the Messiah, when the Messiah is cut off. And then he sees, it says there, the descent of the Holy Spirit. That's Pentecost. And then he notices Antichrist. And then he notices the Son of Righteousness and then the Kingdom of God. So you see how that timeline is. But what the prophets could not see was the times in between. This chart shows it as a valley. That one in the very middle, the prophets could not see the church age. Even the disciples, when Christ ascended, remember that when they were standing and he ascended into heaven? Even the disciples had asked him, are you at this time, go back and read it in Acts, are you at this time going to set up your kingdom? Because they fully expected it. And he said, no, it's not time. And the fact is, what time did that represent? That's this middle portion, the valley of the drawing. This is the church age. This is the age we're in right now. So what's next? Next is Antichrist. Well, you really can't get there yet until certain things happen. Antichrist, and I'm going to show it in Scripture here in a minute. But let's look at the next image real quickly. And I'm going to hopefully go over this a little more this evening in our evening service. But this event called the rapture begins the 7 years of what we refer to as the tribulation period. Now, you might be wondering, what is the tribulation period? This is the 7 years when the entire planet will be judged. It will give rise to somebody who is a charismatic type person who will unite everyone, the whole world. Now, right now, I can't see how that's even possible. But somebody, probably born already, I wouldn't be surprised, is going to rise up and is going to cause a peace of the whole world for 3.5 years. And then that middle is when he sets himself up as God. He proclaims to be God. And that especially is when all hell will break loose on this earth. You do not want to be there. You don't even want to be there in the first 3.5 years. But let me ask you a quick question. How are people going to explain the rapture? Millions of people disappear. Think about it. I mean, if the dead in Christ rise, what about places where there are morgues? People who are maybe out on the table right now because they have just passed away, and then suddenly their body's gone. How will people explain that? How will people explain maybe all young children gone in an instant? How will people explain that? How will people explain cars abandoned everywhere? Can you imagine, especially in these cities where traffic is just bumper to bumper, especially anybody who's traveled on I-95 coming out of Richmond there, it's crazy. It's crazy. Every time I tried to leave a little gap, we were doing 75, maybe 80 miles an hour, and I would try to leave a gap, somebody would fill it. You couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. So imagine going down the road that fast, and I don't know how many, but a number of drivers totally disappear. How will you explain it? And what will the person sitting in the passenger seat, they're gone. You're like, oh no. Folks, I don't know how that's going to work. I do believe it's going to happen. And then that event will trigger what is referred to as the day of the Lord, which is the 7 years. So let's go into Scripture and talk about this. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. By the way, this is the second letter to the Thessalonians. They were the ones who were heavily persecuted. People were dying. Christians were dying left and right. And they were worried that they had missed this coming of the Lord that Paul preached about. They were so worried. And even when Paul had written them one letter, they were still concerned because there were people running around saying that Paul said this. Paul said, you're already in the day of the Lord. This is when God pours out his wrath. That's what the day of the Lord. If you hear or read day of the Lord or day of Christ, it's when God pours out his wrath. Okay? And so they thought they were already in it. And so Paul begins. He says, now we beseech you, we beg you, brethren, that by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering unto him together, or gathering together unto him, that's the rapture, verse 2, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, meaning somebody who claims to have a word from God, or be troubled, nor by word. That's the rumor part, the rumor mill. And nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. See what's going on here? So people were actually forging letters from Paul, bringing letters to the Thessalonians, claiming it was from Paul, and basically was telling them that they were already in the day of Christ. They were already in this tribulation period. Now, it's not called that here. It's called Day of Christ. We know it as that tribulation period. But the Day of Christ is when Christ pours out his wrath. Verse 3. Now here we go. He's saying, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, what day? Day of Christ, when he pours out his wrath. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. This is where people rebel against Christ, as they're doing today. This falling away happens first. And now he mentions somebody that we've not heard yet. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Wow, that man of sin. He goes by multiple names. He goes by that man of sin, that son of perdition. We call him Antichrist. Anti, what's anti? Opposite of, or against. And dare I say, instead of. Antichrist means all of that. Against Christ, instead of Christ, against Christ. John had written in some of his letters that Antichrist already existed in those days. That just meant people who were totally Antichrist, like Mr. Robert Ingersoll. But notice what he's saying here. He's saying, don't be deceived. He's saying there's somebody. Where'd he get this somebody? From the prophets. I wish I had the time. Oh, I tell you, it would take weeks to talk about all the prophecies leading up to this event that Paul is referring to right here. It would take weeks. And I don't have all that time in a small sermon like this, short one. But the fact is, there is a man of sin that's going to be revealed. And Paul says he's the son of perdition, the son of hell. He is damned. He is. And I do believe this man likely has already been born. Who knows? That's just my belief. I don't think it could get a whole lot worse, but who knows? Let's go to verse 4. This man of sin, son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God. He's going to challenge him. I dare God to strike me down, just like Robert Ingersoll. Or that is worship. So he exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worship, so that he, this man of sin, as God, sits in the temple of God, doing what? Showing himself that he is God. There's coming a time, an event in the future, because we don't have that now. We don't have somebody sitting in the temple. This is the Jerusalem temple he's referring to. We don't have that man sitting there right now claiming to be the Messiah. Do you realize a lot of Jewish people are still waiting for the Messiah to come? They don't believe he came yet. A lot of them don't. Many do. But a lot don't. They're still waiting for the Messiah to come. So somebody is going to show up and pretend to be God, pretend to be that Messiah that everybody's looking for. And I don't know how he's going to do it, but however it works, he's going to unite the entire world. Not just Jerusalem, the world. He's going to cause peace for about three and a half years. And then suddenly he's going to reveal himself to be who he really is. He's always been this way, but he's going to show himself. So it's talking about he's going to be revealed that he is or thinks and claims to be God. So verse 5. So Paul reminds, he says, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, that I told you these things? He's just reminding them. Folks, we often have to be reminded that it's coming. Christ is going to rapture his church, and I believe that's going to be the trigger. And I'll explain a little more about that later as to why. But that's going to trigger this 7-year period. So then verse 6. He said, and now you know, and this is where it gets a little, you got to put your thinking caps on. Read it carefully. And now you know what withholds or withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. So let me back up real quickly. Paul said, don't you remember when I told you these things? He said, there's something that's withholding this man of sin being revealed. Something is holding him back. It's not time for him to be revealed until this something is no longer holding him back. So verse 7, he says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, and only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. This is a tough one. Because it doesn't help with the older King James English. The word let or letteth is kind of like the opposite of suffer. Suffer the little children to come unto me. What does suffer mean in that context? Allow. We think the word suffer means like, I'm going to make you suffer. No. Suffer the little children to come unto me means allow, encourage the little children to come unto me. So now he's saying there's something. For, by the way, this word mystery, it doesn't mean no one's going to know. Used in this way, mystery just simply means it's hidden. It hasn't been manifested yet. It hasn't been revealed. It's just still hidden. It's beneath the surface. So the mystery of iniquity, iniquity is sin. The mystery of iniquity, the hidden sin that's beneath the surface of this man of sin. Remember who we're talking about. Paul is referring to this man of sin going to be revealed. And he's saying it's not going to happen until something that is withholding is taken out of the way. So here he says only, notice the word he, only he who now letteth will let. That word letteth means hinder. That's all. It just means hinder. Will hinder. So let me read it that way. Only he who now hinders will hinder until he, here's this other he that we don't quite know for sure who it is. Only he hinders until he's taken out of the way. And this scripture has been up for so much debate, it's amazing. But this next verse, verse 8, So when he, we'll talk about who he is taken out of the way, now, and then shall that wicked, capitalized wicked there, that's a person, that's that man of sin, the son of perdition, Antichrist, wicked, that's his names, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. When he finally creates that, or he doesn't create it, when that last, and it's not even really should be called the battle of Armageddon, because there will be no fight. They will join, they will amass all their forces as if they're going to fight, but God's just going to speak a word. Christ will speak a word, and they'll be obliterated. They'll be consumed with the brightness of his coming. So verse 9 tells us this. For even him, who's him? We got to keep it straight. This is that man of sin, son of perdition, that wicked, the Antichrist. Even him, whose coming is after the working of Satan. Now get this. With all power, signs, and lying wonders. If you think Jesus and the Holy Spirit does all the miracles, Satan's got power. Satan's got power to trick whole populations with his signs, power, and lying wonders. He'll be able to do certain kinds of miracles that will baffle people, to make them question, well, wait a minute, is this even true? I've been waiting, believing Jesus could only do these things, and now we got somebody else, this wicked man doing miracles. He's going to deceive many. Verse 10, and with all deceivableness, in other words, with all, everything he has at his disposal, to trick you. Think about it. What does he have at his disposal? Well, folks, can you believe everything you see on TV? My goodness, I hope not. Not in this day and age. I hope not. But think of the... we're probably at this point now, but everything that happens can be instantaneously shown across the globe. You realize that? Through the internet, through TV, through satellite, through all these communications. So whatever this wicked person does, whatever miracle he may do, it's going to be shown to everybody. Everybody's going to get a chance to see it. Okay? Everybody's going to see all the things that he can use to deceive with all deceivableness. That also includes media, fake news. There's a reason they call it that. Deceivableness of what? Of unrighteousness in them that perish. Remember, the rapture has already occurred, I believe. And now they're in that 7-year period to where this guy is going to show up and he's going to deceive so many people. It'll be crazy. Somebody's got to explain what happened to all the Christians. Do you realize, I've actually been thinking about this. Why is it okay in America to persecute and discriminate against Christians? You can burn a Bible. You can desecrate churches. People are, arsons are even burning up churches. But try that with the Book of Islam. What'll happen? You're likely going to die. See, that's the huge difference. It's okay in America today to persecute Christians. I do believe that's going to get worse. Even before the rapture, I believe it's going to get worse. Because the America especially, and the reason I'm picking on America, is we're having such a culture shift. Everything that's happening in America today is leading up to this wicked showing up. Now, granted, I don't believe he's not going to show up in America. He's going to show up at the Temple of Jerusalem. He's going to put himself in the temple and claim to be the Messiah, claim to be God. And he's going to set himself up above all that is worshipped or even referred to as God. And I believe, I could be wrong, but think about it, I believe he's going to make it a criminal act if you worship anybody but him. Oh, that can't happen. We have free speech and freedom of religion. Notice how your freedoms are being slowly taken away. I never thought it would have happened, but just what, yesterday, day before, the governor of New Mexico, did y'all hear about that? She, by emergency proclamation, she has now said that no one in New Mexico, I think it's all of New Mexico, can have a concealed weapon or open carry. In other words, let's just do away with the Constitution. With an emergency authorization. And even people I never would have thought would have supported the Second Amendment are now coming out against her. But anyway, I digress. But the fact is, folks, the Constitution ain't going to matter. You get a tyrant in office, the Constitution won't matter. You think you got freedom of religion. You think you've got freedom of speech. Look at how the government has censored so much speech on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, you name it. You don't have freedom of speech. Your rights are going away quickly and probably fully. So with all deceivableness of unrighteous in them that perish, because what? They received not the truth. Who's he talking about there? Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Who's he talking about? That's us. This man, this wicked man, this man of sin is going to use all of his deceivableness, everything at his disposal that he can deceive toward us, because they received not the love of the truth, that's us, that they might be saved. That's another reason I don't think Christians are at this point in time. Why? Because I believe Christians who are saved will be in the rapture. All right? We'll talk about it a little more here in just a second, but let's go to verse 11. We only go into verse 12. These two scriptures break my heart. I hope when you hear them and you read them, you will understand the gravity of what we're about to say. So remember, we got this wicked man. We call him the Antichrist. We got this man of sin, the son of perdition, who's basically going to imitate. He's Antichrist. He's the opposite of Christ, who will have miracles, signs, and lying wonders. He'll have all of that. He's going to deceive so many people as he is today. It's just going to get worse. But the fact is, of all of that, because people who hear the gospel, all of us, we reject it. And Paul says, and for this cause, folks, if you keep rejecting the gospel, if you just continually reject the gospel, then you fall under this scripture. For this cause, God shall send them, us, a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And again, in your mind, you might think, well, who's going to believe a lie? Look around. It's all over. When people can claim that they can change genders, when men can participate in women's sports and join a college sorority, a sorority is college girls. Just recently, a guy, through the court system, was admitted to be able to join a sorority. And guess what? Surprise, surprise. Now the college girls feel unsafe. They will believe a lie. What do you think all of this Pride Month is about? It's just, I don't know. It boggles my mind as to when the government cannot define, I think a Supreme Court judge, or maybe it was a federal judge, was asked in Congress, what is the definition of a woman? I don't have a degree in whatever, in biology, I really can't say. That was her answer. I better not stay on that topic too long. This will be removed off Facebook Live. Censored. Folks, we don't have freedom of speech. You realize they would put me in jail in Canada today if I said what I just said up in Canada? Uh-huh. It's coming. But for this cause, what cause? People who didn't love the truth, who didn't obey the truth so that they might be saved. So for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Just like it says in Romans, when it said the men gave up the natural use of the women, what did Paul say? God gave them over to those... It's repeating over and over. So it's going to happen during that 7 years that God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Verse 12. And this is the one that scares me, folks. These are the left behind people. These are the people who did not make it in the rapture, who rejected the truth, who reject Jesus Christ. That's who these people are. That they all, not some, all, might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They enjoy sin. They love that more than the truth. What's the truth? The truth is Jesus is Christ. Amen. And the truth is Jesus died for our sins, the sins of the whole world, if you just accept it. And I'm not just talking about this congregation. I'm talking to the Facebook Live. I'm talking to anybody who hears this message, that God is giving all of us an opportunity, another opportunity, Mr. Ingersoll, or Robert Ingersoll. The fact that you can challenge God today and you can dare him to strike you dead in 5 minutes. If he doesn't, then there is no God. You can challenge him. God is patient. He loves us. He's not willing that anybody should perish. And if you miss it, you might be, they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. The next question comes up. Well, then will anybody be saved in the tribulation? Yes. Well, then who? When I read this scripture, and this is what bothers me, when I read this scripture, I'm not so sure that it'll be anybody who has heard the gospel and rejected it and then gets left behind. Then who, Earl, who will be saved? Probably those who have never heard the gospel before. Think about it. Think about it. People who have not heard the gospel before, there's millions. Millions who've never heard the gospel, who will then suddenly hear the gospel and they'll go, oh yeah, this is what was prophesied. And they might believe, but guess what? They will have to die for their belief. And we'll talk about that in another sermon. I keep saying that, don't I? But folks, this scripture makes me, it stirs my soul. It bothers me to no end, because Paul is saying, let me just recap and then we'll close. Paul is saying, look, there's a man out there who's going to be revealed. And he's going to set himself up as God. He's going to act as he is God. He's going to prove it by deceiving with lying, signs and lying wonders. Miracles, folks. He's going to deceive so many people. And people are going to believe it. God's going to send a strong delusion. But it's to people who have not loved the truth. The truth you're hearing right now, I pray you embrace it. Pray you embrace it before you even get home. Stop somewhere and just say, Lord Jesus, everything Earl just said scares the bejeebies out of me. So I give you my heart. I love you. I want you to save me. And he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. He's patient. Mr. Robert Ingersoll, he's patient. 5 minutes is not enough to wear out the patience of God. All right, so I promised earlier, why do I believe that the Christians will go in unrighteousness? Because I don't think this includes those of us who believe Jesus is the Messiah and he's the Christ. I don't think that scripture applies. Remember, go back and read. When you get home, go back and read it. See if I'm wrong. Look, I always pray that I never teach you something wrong. I'm fallible. I try. I do. I try my best. I pray, I study, and I still can be fallible. Go back and read it yourself. If you have a different understanding, I'd love to hear it. But what I understand from what Paul just told us in just these few scriptures is that there's somebody coming. He's going to deceive you folks, all of us. When I say you, I mean all of us. If we're left behind. If you're left behind, he's going to deceive you. If you've already heard the truth, and most of us heard it multiple times, and you reject it, you may be they all that might be damned who believed not the truth. And this man I've been talking about is Antichrist. Against Christ. Opposite of Christ. Instead of Christ. And he's going to prove it to a lot of people. That's scary, folks. That's scary. Father, the weight of this message, Lord, is heavy. And God, I resisted even wanting to speak about it, but there it is. So, Lord, it's up to the Holy Spirit right now to do what only you can do. Save those, Lord, if they're not saved. Save and encourage people if they need to come back and rededicate their lives to the Lord. Give them courage, God. If they do it here, great. I would love that so well. But if not, Lord, don't let them pass the day without giving their heart to you. Lord, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercies. and the love and the patience that you show us, even though we hear the truth multiple times. We praise your name for all of this. In Jesus' name I ask, amen.